crazy weather, you know. Read your book. This is a crazy book. So you going back to the pyramid tonight? Well, this one's got a picture of it. And the answer is yes. Don't call in and say, is this a rerun? Name of this book is The Cosmic Conspiracy by Stan Deo, I guess, or Deo, D-E-Y-O. Don't ask me where to buy it. West Australian Texas Trading. Cost somebody $30, and they gave it to me. It's a weird book. And like all the books that I read to you, the problem is they all got some good and some bad, but the bad is sufficient that I can't really recommend them to you for fear you think I'm recommending the bad, and I don't want to take the time to cover all that I think is the shortfalling part of it. The essence of this book is to point out the existence of a Club of Rome. All of his interpretations, I'll leave you to judge as you read it. It is more in the frame of reference of the kind of things, though more sensational, that Carol Quigley's done in a solid, incredibly documented way to show there is a crowd of leaders in this world, supra-government, that pretty much determine the path of what goes on in international relationships. He is concluding a step or two beyond, this guy is, Quigley, as supranational, interlocked society of leaders across the world who rule by interlocking relationships and associations. He's got some interesting stuff that's pretty well documented. The weather's bad, you know. I'm going back to the pyramid. This title's, this chapter 4, Radiant Genius, Tesla. I want to talk about weather. I mean, we have news here, religion, this is the weather report. I don't even have a computer, but this is the weather report. On the stroke of midnight between the 9th and 10th of July, in the year 1856, those years keep cropping up, don't they? In the year 1856, in the small Yugoslavian town of Smiljan, or Smiljan, a Yuka that can pronounce in Yugoslav. I mean, I can show you the world's greatest collection of chain-breaking stamps in Yugoslavia, and worth anything, cheapest stamps in the world. You could paper walls with them. But they're interesting. Stamps, yeah, I can understand that, but pronouncing the words, nope. Smiljan. S-M-I-L-J-A-N. In that town, one of the most distinguished inventors of modern times was born. His name, Dr. Nikola Tesla. Just curious, how many of you have ever heard of Tesla? Well, you know more about Tesla than you do about pie. Say that for you. Dr. Tesla was unquestionably a prolific genius in several aspects. My engineers ought to tune in on this one. Don't work so hard back there. Just lock the cameras down and listen. You guys up on the transmitter, quit holding it up to the wind. Go on in, sit down, and trust it to God. Why don't you listen? That went by kind of quick, but look at it. By 1884, he had acquired a detailed knowledge of some 12 languages while attending various European universities. His mental ability was also quite exceptional in another way, because his mind could conjure up. You say, what's this got to do with the religious program? Well, we're doing weather. Jesus said, you can read the signs of the weather, but you can't read the signs of my coming. Now, I have waited to preach on Matthew 24 and those other companion passages deliberately. I did deal in some of the Revelation messages on the statements about those that see these things come to pass, this generation will not pass away till all is fulfilled. But I've deliberately, some of you have been quick enough to notice it, I have deliberately preached on prophecy for over a year and not yet dealt with those great end-time messages of Jesus himself. And there's a reason for it. We had to get straight on the 10 tribes. We got to get the pyramid at least basically outlined. So that gives hope to you that think I'm going to wait another year. And the beginning of sorrows and the conflict between the historicists on that view and the futurists on that view, and what I hope to point out, that truth lies by incorporating some of both, and that error, like the error between the Calvinist and predestinarian theology and the Arminians who believe in free choice, lies in locking themselves into an either-or position when God periodically keeps his options open, and what we're dealing with is double fulfillment. So we have a long ways to go before some messages in Revelation and those gospel passages can be preached. Among other things, are signs of the time that people reference but have never really pinned down. We know about wars and rumors of wars. We know about earthquakes. But I don't hear too many preaching with some precision on how many more earthquakes are happening right now and where, and the diversity of them, than any place else in the world. And who's dealing with the weather in relation to prophecy? Well, let's get started. That's just to let you know that it may be weather, but it's also related to what I'm teaching. His mental ability was quite exceptional in another way, because his mind could conjure up visual images to represent words spoken to him. Now, let me read that slow, because it was a strange but rare gift that he had. His photographic memory, coupled with his mental animation facility, the ability to conjure up animated mental images to match words, gave him incredible advantages in learning languages and in problem solving. Instead of trying to figure out the French word for the English word, he had a mental image and just would surround it with words from various languages. And that gave him a fantastic ability in problem solving. So between 1882 and 1888, he patented many devices which employed the use of rotating magnetic fields, flying saucers, and which produced a method of transmitting electricity with alternating currents. To those who do not realize what this means, all the world's modern electrical generation, we're on such media tonight, all the world's modern electrical generation and transmission equipment is designed around the original ideas and patents of this man, Dr. Nikola Tesla, who once loved the American ideal so much that he became a naturalized U.S. citizen in 1889. Have I said anything, Joe, that you know as an engineer is wrong yet?
No, but he's a genius.
You know about him?
I did not tell him.
If I'm saved now. If the reader is like most people, his first Christian... Let's back up. If the reader is like most people, and I just tested, his first question would be, who? It's a pity. But Tesla's name and the credit which belongs to him have been both suppressed, both of them. His name and the credit which belongs to him have both been suppressed in, quote, the interests of national security. Dr. Tesla invented a unique process for generating extremely high voltages between 1889 and 1892. The type of device which he designed to generate these voltages still bears his name, the Tesla coil. You ever heard of that, Joe?
I've heard the name, but I never associated it with that.
You've heard the name of the coil?
Yes.
I got some people up there, too, that have heard it, right? Hold your hands up. By golly, I got even transmitter people that know. Good. We're getting somewhere now. During these same years, he also patented several types of isochronous oscillators. Isochronous, is that pronouncing it right, you engineers up there? Then between 1891 and 1890, you never know what we're going to do on festival, do you? Getting the weather now. Then between 1891 and 1893, he patented the would you rather... Now, little ones out there, we want to bless you tonight. You rather have that or... I mean, should we be bacon-headed Christians trying to save all of you poor little goodies out there by sundown, or let God save you and give you some direction and understanding of God's ability to know what was going to happen before man ever figured it out? I mean, we're in a time, the last days, when a shaking is beginning. People are saying, what's happening to the weather? Going crazy. Absolutely crazy. Some people even... Oh, here, let's read on. Between 1891 and 1893, he patented the Tesla wireless, that is, radio telegraph system, and developed cool process electron tubes. Ever heard of those? Joe, you ever heard of those?
Not yet.
Here we go. Between 1896 and 1898, he published a still valid theory of radioactivity and radiated energy. During those same years, he developed high potential vacuum tubes, the forerunner of all the fluorescent lights the world uses today. In 1899, he presented a radio-controlled, electrically powered submarine to the U.S. Navy. They failed to see any practical use for it and dismissed the idea. They now have them. However, one of his most incredible achievements was also accomplished in 1899. Great year, these 1800s. One of his most incredible achievements was also accomplished in 1899, though the Navy had rejected his sub, Hicksville. Simple people. This achievement in 1899 coming up was not rejected by the Morgans, the Rockefellers, and the Westinghouses of the world, those banking families. In 1899, he published photographs and papers to a limited readership detailing his discovery of terrestrial resonance and the law of propagation of conduction currents through the globe. You don't have to understand every word, though most of you do, I think, because we've got an intelligent crowd. Just get the gestalt of what I'm saying. The discovery of terrestrial resonance and the law of propagation of conduction currents through the globe. His paper also gave detail in 1899 of his high potential wireless electrical broadcasting station, which broadcasted usable power, not radio communications, usable power by transmitting energy in the form of standing waves or stationary waves in the Earth's crust and upper ionosphere. During the summer of 1899, Dr. Tesla managed to construct and subsequently test one of the most incredible devices mankind has yet to see. Dr. Tesla had convinced Colonel John Jacob Astor of Waldorf Astoria fame of the inside crowd that Carol Quigley talks about, Tesla had convinced him to gamble $30,000 on this summer test. The dry goods company named Simpson and Crawford contributed another $10,000 to the project, while Mr. Leonard Curtis, who owned the Colorado Springs Electric Company, contributed both land and the use of one of his Colorado Springs power generation plants. Tesla had chosen the Rocky Mountains for their frequent supply of highly charged thunderstorms. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
It was Tesla's idea to tap into these charged clouds from the ground using a tuned circuit. He had already determined. Wouldn't it be awful to be a Christian that checked your brains when you got saved and you couldn't talk about anything but John 3:16 till you died? What do you got to talk to Jesus about when you get to heaven? Like God producing a bunch of retarded imbeciles that just barely make it through the gate. Jesus said, I am the truth. And in His Spirit, He's come to live in us. I'm tired of Christians being afraid of truth. Tesla had chosen the Rocky Mountains for their frequent supply of highly charged thunderstorms. It was Tesla's idea to tap into these charged clouds. Boy, that's going past Franklin flying his kites, I'd say. It was Tesla's idea to tap into these charged clouds from the ground using a tuned circuit. He had already determined that the lightning flashes from these storms seemed to discharge along a specific stationary wave pattern that he had theorized encircled the entire globe of the earth. These lightning flashes went off along a specific stationary wave pattern that encircled the whole globe, is what he had theorized. Why does lightning happen at... Well, let's keep going. He built a gigantic Tesla coil. How are we doing, Joe?
Fantastic.
He built a gigantic Tesla coil. I just see my engineer out on Mount Baldy next week. I mean, if we can tap into lightning, just think what we'll do when the next FCC guy shows up. He built a gigantic Tesla coil, which used the Earth's surface as one plate of a spherical capacitor to the former. You understand that, Joe? He sounded like he's writing it down, didn't he? Like I bothered him while he was writing a formula down. If you don't know who Joe is, he's my chief engineer. He's directing right now. We gotta talk. You know, you understand this, Gary? He ain't even there. He just left for the hills. Who's up there, John?
Should be Gary.
Go build a Tesla coil in the sound room. He built a gigantic Tesla coil, which, you know, you see, engineers, the minute they hear something new, they're going to leave and be the first one to get on it. He built a gigantic Tesla coil, which used the Earth's surface as one plate of a spherical capacitor to the former. He linked them with a dielectric medium, the atmosphere. You got that? Got that, Joe? Still with me?
I'm still with you.
To overcome the problem, what did I just do? I built a Tesla coil which used the surface of the earth as one plate of a spherical capacitor to the other, and he linked them together with the atmosphere. Didn't need a wire, the atmosphere connected. Is that in layman's terms what's happening, Joe? Huh? He left too! To overcome the problem of distance, I'm going to have to go to cameraman next. To overcome the problem of distance between the Earth and the ionosphere, which ranges from 25 miles up to 250 miles up, this was way back in 1899. To overcome the distance between the Earth and the ionosphere, 25 to 250 miles out there, Tesla had aimed one end of the secondary coil of his gigantic Tesla coil at the ionosphere. The idea being that the charge crowding or crunching effect at the ball-capped tip of the 200-foot pole above the secondary would raise the effective voltage between the Earth and the ionosphere. Short and simple, he figured out a genius way to hook them up using the atmosphere to conduct and build up and compress until the effect was to bring them closer. His device consisted of three points. A secondary of 75 turns having one end grounded into there. So hang on, I'm getting to the weather. You don't have to understand it, it just has to sound awful complicated. The results is what we're getting to in a minute. Just think, he may be good. Thank God we're here, because we know he didn't blow the earth up. His device consisted of three main points. A secondary of 75 turns having one end grounded into the earth with a large copper plate and the other end attached to a 200-foot tall shaft topped with a 3-foot diameter ball. Now, a layman can figure that out. He rigged up something with coils and grounded it in the earth and put a ball, a copper ball, say copper? No, it's just a ball right here. 3-foot diameter ball. How do you find the circumference of that ball? Just waking you up. So he's got a secondary with the turns attached to the ground, a large copper plate. That's where the copper is. The other end attached to a 200-foot tall shaft topped with a 3-foot diameter ball. Second point, a heavy gauge primary coil of 75 feet in diameter, which surrounded the secondary and was inductively linked by an air gap. Three, an electromechanical circuit to provide the high frequency, parentheses, circa 150 kilocycles, circa, or in parentheses, power source to drive the primary. All you need to know right now, it was complicated and could really knock you down if it shorted. Aim to the ionosphere. Interested readers encouraged to obtain a copy of Tesla's U.S. patent number 649,621 of 15 May 1900 from the original specifications filed to here, whole half a page of patents. Can I skip past that? I just did. Tesla's Colorado experiment was done at a spot very close to where this author's alma mater, the U.S. Air Force Academy, now stands. Now you got a little personal sideline. This author has spent many hours perched there some 700 feet up the slope of El Diablo Mountain, the Devil Mountain, watching those magnificent thunderstorms of the summer season in the Rockies. It is perhaps for this reason that Dr. Tesla's words, written in 1904 concerning his highly successful Colorado test of July 3, 1899, struck such concord in this author's own thoughts. This is what he wrote. Tesla wrote, "I first obtained the first decisive experimental evidence of a truth for the overwhelming advancement of humanity. A dense mass of strongly charged clouds had gathered in the west over Pike's Peak. And toward evening, a violent storm broke loose, which, after spending its fury in the mountains, was driven away with great velocity over the plains. Heavy and long persistent arcs, lightning flashes, formed almost in regular time intervals. No doubt whatever," Tesla's continuing to write, "no doubt whatever, we were observing stationary waves. Subsequently, similar observations were also made by my assistant, Mr. Fritz Lowenstein, who later saw the true nature of the wonderful phenomenon. The tremendous significance of this fact in the transmission of energy by my system had already become quite clear to me. Now, again, to keep it down to layman's terms, anybody that has the credentials that Tesla has, was the genius that he was, that figured out that certain stationary waves encircling the globe, those waves were somehow connected to the lightning flashes and energy release accompanying those lightning flashes at those given points of the waves, constructing a giant expansion on his Tesla coil that enabled him to somehow verify to his own satisfaction, that matched the genius of an Einstein, that his theory of such a stationary wave existed is all that has been said to this point. He's the expert, and that's what he concluded. And those that want to check his expertise, get this book and read the patents and read the source. It was in the Electrical World and Engineer of May 5th, 1904. Go to the library and check it out. It became quite clear to me that the transmission of energy by his system was possible. As the source of disturbances, which was the electrical thunderstorm, as the source of the disturbances, the thunderstorm moved away, discharges came successively on their nodes and loops. Impossible as it seemed, this planet, despite its vast extent, behaved like a conductor of limited dimensions. Tesla had discovered a process which could transmit almost unlimited amounts of electrical energy to any place on Earth with negligible losses. Yet bureaucrats told him an electric sub was a bad idea, and a Baptist with more teeth than brains, who was the lackey of the Trilateral Commission and Council on Foreign Relations, put up there like a little puppet in the presidency in the mode of old Long John, whatever his name is, from Texas, that thought the whole world would cry when he resigned over Vietnam, think it's a big deal to turn lights out and save energy for the future. And we had an energy crisis, didn't we, a short time ago? We've run out of oil. People fighting in gas lines. Now we've got an oil glut. As if we're going to run out of energy. This is 1899. Tesla figured this out. Tesla discovered a process which could transmit almost unlimited amounts of electrical energy to any place on Earth with negligible losses. He had managed to estimate the resonant frequency of the Earth to ionospheric cavity at 150 kC. It was a good guess, but one which has later proved not as efficient as possible, because the cavity resonance changes from moment to moment depending on solar wind densities and sunspot activity. Now listen to this. The United States has, I'm going to anticipate something. When Tesla died, something happened to his papers. Just wait a minute, I'll tell you. The United States has a very low frequency transmitter located at the South Pole. What's it doing there? It is similar to Tesla's process. Do you believe in UFOs? There's a lot of strange things going on in the world the government doesn't want to talk about. Notice I didn't say I did believe in them. I just asked you a question. The United States has a very... Why are we having bad weather? The United States has a very low frequency transmitter located at the South Pole. It is similar to Tesla's process, except that it can be tuned to a frequency in the range of 7H small z. You know what that is, Joe? Forget it. Hurt, huh?
Seven hertz.
You mean that's not a car you rent? Even-numbered superharmonics of this frequency, such as 14,336 hertz, 2 to the 11th power times 7 hertz, have been used by both the U.S. Navy's VLF transmitter at Australia's Northwest Cape and the American Defense Advanced Research Project Agency's VLF facility at Pine Gap in the dead center of Australia, one of the most secret U.S. government installations in the world. You try to get there and see if they don't eradicate you and figure out some way to have you die an accidental death in the Caribbean. You see, we're talking about things government doesn't like you to talk about. You understand what I just said? Let's read it again. See, I happen to believe that you know how to think. You don't really have to think very much to figure out who J.R. is going to do in next on Dallas. And that's where most television aims. I don't believe you can think. You don't even have to be an engineer to understand this. I got them sitting around. They interpret the words. O.J. Simpson does not have anything to do with this hurts. Or does he have the other one, Avis? Doesn't matter, neither one. The United States has a very low frequency transmitter located at the South Pole. It is similar to Tesla's process, except that it can be tuned to a frequency in the range of 7 hertz. Even numbered superharmonics of this frequency, such as 14,336 hertz, 2 to the 11th power times 7 hertz, have been used by both the U.S. Navy's VLF, what's that mean? Very low frequency. You got a VHF television in front of you, haven't you? Very high frequency. You got UH. That's ultra high, isn't it? Well, aren't short waves way down on the other extreme? How does that work? Tell me about short waves. Come on, you engineers. Huh? Shorter, the higher. There you go. As simple as that. Now, very low frequency transmitters are used by the U.S. Navy, Australia's Northwest Cape, and the American Defense Advanced Research Project Agency's very low frequency facility at Pine Gap, that ultra secret center. They have entire cities built underground there. You'll never get in. In Australia. It may be significant that the $10 billion North American Air Defense Command, NORAD, is buried 1 mile underneath Cheyenne Mountain, also in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. If one views the planet as a round ball of electrical fluid, as did Tesla, one can see how a resonant circuit using the Earth as a conductor would generate very high voltages at the antipodes of such a transmitter. Is that the way you pronounce it? If NORAD has a VLF resonance transmitter, then the antipode, is that the way you pronounce it? Then the antipode of its broadcast would be near a very small island group in the southern portion of the Indian Ocean. Could it be that the still highly classified electrically propelled U.S. submarines recharge their dynamic plasma batteries there? Hey, boy, this is straight out of Star Wars, isn't it? Furthermore, one wonders even more about the antipodes of the Pine Gap and Northwest Cape transmitters. Where are they? The Pine Gap transmitter sits very near the Tropic of Capricorn, and its antipode is very near the nobody else would dare try this on TV. And its antipode Give me a layman's description of antipode. That's what I thought you said. You know what the antipode of the North Pole is? South Pole. You're learning. So am I. Not often I teach on festival and learn this much. Its antipode is very near the Tropic of Cancer. The Pine Gap transmitter sits near the Tropic of Capricorn, dead center of Australia. Its antipode is very near the Tropic of Cancer on the center of the Atlantic Ocean's Great Dividing Range. That's where Atlantis used to be. The Northwest Cape transmitter, just slightly north of the Tropic of Capricorn, is, however, of extreme interest because its antipode is directly in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle, where so much electronic disturbance goes on. And people have been blaming God for those happenings. Where many strange... Look, even a layman can figure out opposites and the strange phenomenon of electricity. If the whole earth is a conductor, the opposite pole of the Northwest Cape transmitter, directly in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle, where many strange electrical phenomena have been observed in recent years. Some poor guy flying out there in his airplane can't understand why he's having electronic disturbance. You couldn't pay me to have my pilot fly me in, what's the thing he calls that thing? Charlie Brown, that little single engine plane, Bermuda Triangle. No deal. That's worse than landing in a prison camp in Visalia. Not going to give the devil or his henchmen bureaucrats that shot at me. Now, with this kind of backup and furtherance of some of Tesla's concepts that he never gets credit for a strange reason, one must wonder, what is the purpose of the gigantic Russian VLF transceiver at Riga on the coast of the Baltic Sea? For over 3 years now, ham radio operators all over the world have been plagued by a somewhat elusive 10 to 15 cycle buzz that suddenly appears across a bandwidth of over 30,000 frequencies. The signal seems to last anywhere from 10 seconds to sometimes 3 minutes. Efforts to triangulate its source have always pointed to Riga. The signal is a Russian product. It seems to do nothing but jam random frequencies at random time. But is it simply a random jamming device? Am I boring you?
No, sir.
You want to quit?
No, sir.
Boy, this is a good one to dangle if I want to, isn't it? Just go home tonight. Come back tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. I'm going to be kind. It is known that the signal travels along the same cavity waveguide that Dr. Tesla's system used. The signal also behaves somewhat like a beat signal between two very low frequency signals. Yet the most amazing fingerprint of this elusive signal is its excessive bandwidths, over 30,000 frequencies. The signal must be a type of very low frequency, high voltage broadcast. Does that deduction make sense, you engineers? Huh? The beat characteristic is formed as it interacts with one or more existing resonant broadcast fields around the globe, still supporting Tesla's theory. The wideband static is caused by spurious electromagnetic radiation from cross-field shorts and from leakage to earth in the main signal. At least one other source of the, quote, other resonant fields can be attributed to the United States, whose transmitters, like those we've described, adorn the earth in at least four places, some previously mentioned. It is quite feasible that the two superpowers are having a broadcast power war. And you know, Cuba's tried to get in on it, to the absolute panic of the FCC. Now, this may seem a bit far-fetched to the reader, but when he's apprised of the other possible applications of such a powerful resonant electrodynamic field, he will perhaps join this author in some suspicions. How are we doing, Joe?
Fantastic. We got everybody on the phone talking about this.
Huh? What? What? What?
I've got Joe on the phone with us now.
You got what?
Joe in Hartford.
Why are you on the phone with him for?
We're trying to figure out where you're going.
That's our engineer from San Francisco that joined our other engineer in Hartford with making repairs, talking to our chief engineer when they all ought to be listening to me. God, smite them with dumbness. That is of the tongue for 5 minutes. Joe's worked for me all these years, and he still thinks he can figure out where I'm going. When a living organism, I'm one of those. When a living organism is subjected to very dense and or very rapidly changing electromagnetic fields, various physiological responses can occur depending upon a variety of factors. In some cases, genetic malformations may occur. In others, immediate tissue damage may result in the form of burns. Let me tell you something. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And the insanity of Nazism will never be duplicated in exactly the same form, but it'll be duplicated in its evil presumption that a select few can experiment to the harm of all the ordinary people. They don't like anybody that doesn't play the game. How many times has security been used to cover every kind of evil? Genetic malformations. In others, immediate tissue damage may result in the form of burns. Yet in still others, the effects may be purely neurological, causing prolonged psychotic symptoms like paranoia, depression, hallucination. Perhaps the most fascinating possibility is the use of such fields to model human behavior within the confines of the field. There would, of course, be distance limitations, but it is theoretically possible to induce subliminal suggestion, sleeplessness, and lethargy through very low frequency fields of some 10 to 15 hertz, which lie in the range of the major resonant frequency of the Earth to ionospheric cavity at 14.3 hertz. Geniuses can figure out how to create widespread psychotic responses. As Dr. Tesla once observed, the earth is like a gigantic spinning ball of the electric fluid or ether of space.
This is the end of side one. For the rest of the message, please turn the tape over for side two. Thank you.